This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
Diabetes is a rather rare disease, which until fairly early in this century was completely incurable. Diabetes mellitus, or ordinary diabetes, is caused by a disorder of the pancreas, which fails to secrete insulin, a hormone which makes it possible for the body to utilize sugar. And therefore, the unused sugar accumulates in the blood until the excess overflows into the urine and is excreted. Our story tonight takes us back to the year 1922 and concerns a dramatic turning point in medical history when a man's fight for the life of his son proved to be the beginning of yet another victory for modern science in its quest to restore to thousands of diabetics this sweet life.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
Jim was dying of starvation, forced on him by diabetes. It was May 1922, and Jim was only as old as the century.
How are you feeling, Jim?
Pretty hungry, Dad, but okay, I guess.
I know, Jim, I know. You know how hard I've tried.
Sure.
But nobody seems to have an answer.
Dad, did you see Dr. Williams again?
Yes. This morning I had to go to the other side of New York on business. I dropped by his office to have a few words with him.
I'm dreadfully sorry, Mr. Havens, but there has been no news at all.
But Dr. Williams, is there nothing that can be done for Jim? I mean, somewhere there must be something that'll help.
Well, if only we knew where to find it. You know, I've been working with diabetics for several years now. In fact, I've been looking after Jim for, what is it, easily 8 years now.
That's right, Doctor, since he was 14.
Yeah, and we've tried everything known to medicine in our efforts to cure, or at least control Jim's disease.
Well, this starvation diet he's on, is there nothing better?
Well, look, it's the sole means we have at the moment of prolonging the life of the diabetes victim. But even so, Jim has really chalked up a record for youthful diabetics.
Yeah, I know, I know. Most of them die in a year or two after the onset, I know.
That's right. Well, how is his weight these days? I haven't been for. What is it now? Oh, must be 2 weeks to see him.
He's wasting away, Doctor. He's getting much weaker.
How does he keep himself occupied? Does he still sketch?
He can't even hold up a book anymore. He just lies on the couch and smiles.
Yes, he's a very, very brave boy, Mr. Havens. The pain caused by the dying nerves in his arms and legs is considerable.
You must find a way to help him, Doctor. You can't just let him die after all we've done.
Sometimes we have to accept the inevitable, Mr. Havens.
No, I won't accept that. This is only a problem, and like anything else, it can be solved. I'll simply go on trying and trying. Somewhere there must be a miracle that will save my son.
Hi, Havens. Gosh, you look worried. Isn't business picking up?
Hi, George. No, business is fine.
Then why the long face?
It's Jim. He's on his last.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the diabetes, eh?
Yeah. We've tried everything. I don't suppose you've heard of anyone in Canada who might be, well, experimenting with a remedy or something.
Oh, I hardly know what diabetes is. But I'll talk to a fellow I play golf with. He's a big wheel at the medical school. He might have some ideas.
Will you do that for me, George? When will you see him again? When's your next trip back here?
Well, let me see now. Philadelphia tomorrow. Cleveland on Thursday, back in Toronto on Friday. I'll see McLeod over the weekend, and I'm due back here next Tuesday.
Great. Will you have lunch with me then, and we'll hear what you found out. What did you say his name was?
Dr. John McLeod. He's head of the Department of Physiology at the University of Toronto.
And what did he say?
Well, I asked him if there was anyone in his crowd working on diabetes.
And?
Apparently, they've been working on it for years in his department. But it's too soon for them to be of any help to anyone.
But they are working on something.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't say much, but I went to the university myself and asked some questions.
Great. What did you find out, George? Anything hopeful?
Well, apparently there are two guys, Frederick Banting and his assistant, Charles Best. They're both researchers in McLeod's department.
Have they come up with anything?
They wouldn't commit themselves, but they told me they had worked out a promising chemical treatment for diabetes. It's an extract of dog pancreas. They called it insulin.
Hi, Jim. How's my boy tonight?
Hi, Dad. No complaints, I guess. Fit as a fiddle.
Jim, can you lift your arm?
Why, Dad?
I'm just asking.
Oh. Dad, matter of fact, I can't lift my arm or move my leg since last night.
I see. Jim, I don't want to raise any false hopes in you, son, but I think I've got good news for you.
Really, Dad?
I saw George Snowball today. He's with the firm in Toronto, and he tells me that at the university in Toronto, they've discovered a chemical treatment that might help you.
Really?
But they're not sure yet that it can be tried on humans, Jim. They're still experimenting.
Well, why don't they experiment on me? They might as well, Dad.
Would you let them do that?
Of course. Look, if I can be of any help to them, they might even help me. Isn't that so, Dad?
That's what I'm hoping, Jim. That's all we can hope for now. Sorry to bother you again, Dr. Williams.
It's no bother, Mr. Havens. It's always nice to see you.
Doctor, I'll come straight to the point. Jim is dying.
Well, that's really not for us to say, Mr. Havens.
Oh, come on, Doc. You know it's true.
Yes, Mr. Havens, your son is dying.
Have you heard of the work of Banting and Best in Toronto?
Yes, I have. I remember a paper on diabetes read by Dr. McLeod at Yale. Last year it was.
Then why didn't you tell me?
Well, I didn't want to disappoint you, Mr. Havens.
Disappoint me?
Well, I know that with a new treatment, one must be very, very sure.
But Dr. Frederick Banting admits that some experimental doses have been given to human beings.
And that the early results indicate that they're on the right track.
Exactly. So what are we waiting for?
Mr. Havens, the treatment of diabetes is a matter for skilled advice. This I have always given you.
But it's not advice that's going to save Jim. I want some positive action.
Now look, calm down, Mr. Havens, calm down. Where would I be if I tried out every chance discovery before it was proved?
I know that this is not just a chance discovery, as you call it, Dr. Williams. And my son is prepared to be a guinea pig.
Well, Jim is a brave boy.
Those are empty words, Dr. Williams, unless he gets a chance to prove that he's brave. He's prepared to risk what is left of his life for a chance of survival.
Mr. Havens...
There's something called insulin, Dr. Williams. It may save Jim. Get it.
The following evening, Dr. John Williams came to see Jim Havens. He had hurried to Toronto and had coaxed a small quantity of the precious insulin from Banting and Best. He wasn't happy about it, and the young researcher's modest claim for their discovery had done little to encourage him. He was even more worried about his young patient and the effect the unknown drug might have on him. He saw little point in hurrying Jim Havens' death, but was faced with a determined father who would not hear of letting this chance of recovery slip by. And that was all it was. A chance of recovery.
Did you get it, Doctor?
Yes, Mr. Havens. I managed to get a small dose of insulin, as it's called.
Do you Do you think it'll work, Dr. Williams?
Well, now, I don't really know, Jim. And I don't think we should even try.
Oh, please, Doctor. Please, let's try.
You must.
Well, all right. But I can offer no guarantee, Mr. Havens. None at all.
Which arm, Doctor?
The right arm, Jim. Here. Let me help you. Don't be afraid. This won't hurt. There. It's done.
Thanks, Doctor. Jim, just lie still. When must he have another one, Doctor?
Tomorrow morning. And then we'll test for sugar.
That night, Jim Havens slept fitfully. The thoughts that raced through his mind kept him awake between short spells of sleep. Soon he might be able to move about again, use his arms and legs like other people of his age. Soon he might be able to sketch again, eat again, live again. He never despaired of death, regarding his condition as if from outside himself. He had watched himself grow weaker and more helpless over 8 years. He'd seen the strange twistings and convulsions that had become his constant companions. He'd seen his family watch him. All of them thought it would soon be over, except his father and he. But next morning, when Dr. Williams had given him a further injection and tested Jim for sugar, even Jim Havens began to give up. The sugar, that sweet killer, was not reduced.
Havens, I hope you've got some good news for me this time.
Hello, George. No, I'm afraid not.
You mean?
It's no good, George. That insulin stuff doesn't work. It's hopeless.
But those guys have saved lives.
Oh, maybe they have, maybe they haven't.
Don't despair, James. I tell you, Banting and Best are on the right track.
How do you know? The injections we begged from them have done nothing for Jim. He's as full of sugar as before.
Not even a slight reduction?
Not even that. Oh, I don't know.
I don't understand it. Those boys are really good. I saw their experiments. The way they kept working. And I know they must be right.
Perhaps if they... No.
Yeah? What were you going to say?
No, it's useless. They'll never do it.
Do what?
Well, I thought perhaps they might come and see Jim themselves. Look after him personally. Perhaps the dosage wasn't right in his particular case.
Yeah, that's possible. It's even possible that Banting will come to New York to see Jim.
I don't think so, somehow.
Now, listen, you just leave it to old George. I'll see to it that he does come.
Come in.
Good morning, Dr. Banting.
Oh, Mr. Snowball. Well, sit down. What brings you here again?
Thanks, sir. I've come to complain, Doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. About you, Dr. Banting.
Well, good heavens, man. What have I done wrong?
Nothing, as yet. But you're about to do something terrible.
Look, I don't understand, sir. I'm pretty busy this morning.
I know you're a busy doctor, and I don't want to waste your time. I know it's valuable.
Then what exactly is your problem?
Insulin.
Look, sir, I told you before that I'm not at liberty to discuss our work here with members of the public.
I don't want to discuss it, Doctor. I know nothing about diabetes and its cure.
Mr. Snowball, I'm not quite sure what you're after, but I see little point in this conversation, if you don't mind.
But I do mind, Dr. Banting. You see, there's Jim Havens in New York, and he's dying from diabetes.
Jim Havens... That's Dr. Williams' patient.
That's right. He was the reason I came to you in the first place.
I see. Well, Dr. Williams has told me of the case. It's very interesting. 8 years now he's clung on to life.
Yeah, that's right. And don't you think he ought to be given a chance to live?
Well, of course.
In that case, will you come with me to New York and treat Jim with your discovery yourself? See that he gets the correct dosage. Experiment on him.
Look, I'm very busy at the moment. I'm working every minute to standardize my pancreas extract.
Dr. Banting, the, The Haven's doctor tried your preparation, and it didn't work. They think it's just another failure.
Hello, Mary.
Goodness, Doctor. I didn't expect you back so soon. I've still got two more pages of yesterday's notes to type up.
Oh, it's all right, Mary. No hurry, no hurry at all.
But you said you wanted them for Professor McCloud this afternoon.
Oh, did I? Yeah, I guess I did.
You said it was rather urgent.
Urgent? Oh, no, it's not really urgent, not at all.
But, Doctor, I don't...
Mary, how long have you been my secretary?
Why, almost 2 years now.
And in all that time, how often have I thrown a bunch of notes on your desk for typing and told you it was urgent?
Oh, I guess at least 3 or 4 times a week.
That's right. Notes so urgent that Charles Best and I would get around to discussing them a week later. Because that same morning we'd been sidetracked in the laboratory by some small discrepancy in our work. Some discrepancy that it just seemed wise to check over before we proceeded.
But surely that's the whole point of research work like yours. I mean, you have to stop and check and then recheck.
And rewrite your notes and then check again and again. Proceeding with the utmost caution, making deliberate haste, but never, never committing yourself.
But, Doctor, how can you commit yourself until you're sure?
Sure. Mary, don't you understand, in medical research, one can never be sure. Not until the day I actually inject this insulin into a dying man and see him recover, see him begin to live again. Only then can one be sure.
But you've said yourself 100 times that you must make exhaustive tests before it can be safely used on people.
That's right.
Up till now, you've only tested it on guinea pigs.
Now, listen to me, Mary. There's a young fellow called Jim Havens. He's dying of diabetes in New York.
Oh.
He's fought a losing battle for 8 years, but he's got courage and a will of iron, and he wants to go on fighting. His own physician came to see me. I gave him a small sample of our G6 extract. Well, it seemed the least I could do.
And was it
apparently the results were disappointing. But today, an old friend of the family came to see me. They want me, they practically begged me to help him personally. They want me to go to New York and supervise his treatment and try and find the correct dosage.
You mean experiment on him?
That's right, Mary. He wants to be one of my guinea pigs.
Will you do it? Will you go?
I don't know. I just don't know. I told this fellow, Snowball, I'd have to think about it. Well, I said I'd give him an answer by lunchtime. He's going to telephone me here.
But this young man, Jim Havens, how long is...
Weeks. Maybe a month or two. Who can tell?
Well, then, Doctor, why not? It sounds a terrible thing to say, I know, but what can he lose? And if it is a success, then...
Yeah, but what if it isn't? That's what I keep asking myself. Can I... Dare I risk it at this stage when there's still so much work to be done? Poor Jim Havens loses a gallant fight, but what of all the others? The others I hope to help someday, but may never have a chance to if this experiment is a failure and the funds for my research here are cut down. Don't you see, Mary, how can I go on if I fail now?
How can you go on if you don't try? Shall I answer it?
No, I'll take it. Banting? Oh, hello, Mr. Snowball. Yeah, I was expecting your call. Yeah. Look, I thought it over. I'll be glad to go. No, please don't thank me yet. I only hope I can do something. Sure, reserve me a seat on the morning train. There's just one thing. You'll have to loan me the fare. All I have is tied up in this research.
At the Havens home, an anxious James Havens greeted Dr. Frederick Banting. Dr. Williams was there, too, eager to discuss developments during the past week with Banting. With him, in a small black bag, Dr. Banting carried samples of his newly standardized pancreas extract. They immediately went in to see young Jim. After a brief but thorough examination, Dr. Banting smiled at Jim Havens and said,
"Well, Jim, let's see what we can do for you this time."
Doctor, it's no use, Doctor. I'm too tired.
No nonsense. One more injection won't hurt.
Tired.
Dr. Williams, would you pass me my bag, please?
Sure. There you are.
Thank you.
Is there anything I can do, Doctor?
Now, if you'll just help Jim to keep his arm over here, Mr. Havens. That's right. Now.
Dr. Banting, how long before the next injection?
Well, I think we should wait for about 2 hours.
Well, there we are, Jim. Now, look, you try and get back to sleep again, huh?
Okay, I'm feeling very drowsy, Doctor.
That's good. Now, relax, and we'll wake you in 2 hours from now. Only there was some way in which we could determine the effect of every dose.
I know. I think we should increase the dose by 1 cc every 2 hours until there is an obvious effect.
Uh-huh. As you think best, Doctor.
Little was said between the three men as they sat in the half-light of the burning oil lamp. In the room next door, young Jim Havens was trying with his last few ounces of courage and determination to win the fight for the sweet life that is the birthright of every human. The insulin injections were kept up for half the night. Finally, Dr. Williams went home, and the Canadian, Dr. Banting, accepted a bed and a brief rest. He was up again at dawn.
Well, good morning, Dr. Banting.
Morning, Williams. I thought the kitchen sink would be the best place to work. It can be a bit messy.
I see. You're testing for sugar, then.
That's right. We should be able to see if our efforts have been worthwhile in a few moments.
Did the boy sleep well?
Yeah. He had a reasonable night's sleep, I'd say. Spoke a few words when I woke him this morning. Quite cheerful he was. Williams?
Yeah?
Look here. I think we've got it. Jim Havens is sugar-free. Well, how do you feel, Jim?
Should I feel any different, Doctor?
Well, try sitting up.
I don't know about that, Doctor. Okay, I'll try.
All right. Now, slowly. Slowly. Try put your arm behind you.
I can do it. I do feel better. Look, I'm sitting up. Dad, please call my dad. Dad, come and look at me. I'm better.
This was the miracle which millions were to experience later. That day, Jim ate a real meal. In a week, the boy was eating regularly, and his strength was returning. The pain in his body had gone, and he was sketching again. Jim Havens still had to go far, and still had much pain to endure, as the doctors in their pioneer efforts coped with insulin shortage and serious side effects. He became a guinea pig for the perfection of insulin, and after a few months, increasing numbers of diabetics were being given insulin. In 1923, Dr. Frederick Banting, jointly with Professor MacLeod, received the Nobel Prize for the discovery of insulin, the miracle drug that restores diabetics to this sweet life.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.